The Money Show.
Shapeshifters.
A high-tech business based in Cape Town in the Western Cape. It's 7-8 years old. It is exists to help farmers. Farmers have got vast tracts of land. They may have huge orchards. They may have huge pastures. They may need to keep an eye on those pastures. And what Aerobotics does is it takes artificial intelligence technology. It uses drones. It is then enables the farmer to fly the drone over their property. And they're in 18 different countries. They're in Africa, the Americas, Europe, Australia, and to chart the health of their crops, chart the health of the trees, see whether or not there's a bit of a dry patch or a drought problem or a disease problem coming through. And that's the Aerobotics genius. Benji Meltzer is the co-founder in 2014 with James Patterson of Aerobotics. And, I mean, are those numbers accurate, Benji? 18 countries still, or have you expanded since my research was done?
No, we're still in 18 countries, Bruce. I think all of our focus now is on sort of expanding within those markets, predominantly in the US, South Africa, Australia, Portugal, and Spain. Just focusing on high-value crops, largely being citrus and nuts. So rather than expanding sort of into other markets, we're focusing on those core territories.
In layman's terms, there's a drone, there is technology, there is a camera, and there is somebody operating the drone. What are they doing when they're doing that?
So the drone itself, the flight's actually autonomous. There's an application that runs on a mobile device to plan a flight. The drone is flying with different sensors. There's a visual camera as well as multi-spectral sensors. Those pick up basically signatures of the crop in the infrared or thermal space to pick up, say, crop stress or irrigation-related measures. But the flight itself and the collection of that data is actually done automatically. You do need a person there, largely from regulatory perspective, just given sort of airspace regulation at the moment. But pretty much all that they're doing is planning the flight, putting the drone on the ground, sort of hitting a button to kick it off, and when it's finished, making sure that data gets uploaded to the cloud for analysis. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing sort of particularly special about the collection of data. I think just another point is that the drones are one of the platforms that we use to collect the data, but we're almost agnostic in terms of where that imagery is coming from. We're working with satellite data, fixed-wing aeroplanes, ground-based sensors as well. And pulling all sorts of different imagery into the platform for analysis.
And what you're trying to find is crops under distress of any kind, whether that be disease, whether it be drought, whether it be flooding, perhaps, if there is a low point on a farm and there are three trees growing in a hollow and that's, you know, near a spring that's flooding the trees and they're drowning, for argument's sake, you could pick all of that sort of stuff up. Do you have to tell the drone what it's looking for, or does it alert to anomalies?
So the drone itself is collecting data at a broad scale across the farm. I think you touched on it earlier. The challenge is just traditionally monitoring these big areas manually by foot isn't feasible. And the drone itself is typically flying a grid type profile above the farm. And the analysis of that data and anomaly detection is all what's happening post the flight. So that data gets uploaded. And really the IP that we've focused on developing is for different value propositions. So there's a pest and disease product, an irrigation product, a nutrition product, a yield estimation product. We're interpreting that data in different ways. And really the proposition is off the back of that data to help diagnose specific problems on the farm, localize them in terms of particular trees or areas of the orchard that have problems, and enable farmers to ultimately intervene in the right place at the right time. But, I mean, just to be clear, the collection of that imagery itself is almost agnostic from the interpretation itself.
Where did the idea come from? Were you as a kid tasked with going to study a row of apple trees on an uncle's farm one day and thought, you know what, I do not need to walk in this hot sun with a hat and a water bottle and run the risk of standing on a Cape Cobra. I'm not doing it anymore. and so you invented the aerobotics, or was it not that glamorous?
It is to some extent from James's perspective. So I started the company with James Patterson in 2014. He grew up on a citrus farm in Citrusdale. I mean, to your description, kind of walked the fields and felt some of the challenges firsthand in just monitoring and identifying risks and problems on the ground. We're both engineers. We studied together at UCT. He went on to MIT to study aeronautical engineering, which is, I guess, where the whole drone and aerial sort of imagery side of things come from. My background's in the biomedical imagery space and engineering space, where I guess my interests really are on analyzing data automatically to help with diagnosis or problem detection. I guess personally shifting from medical imagery to agricultural imagery was just an interesting problem to tackle. But really aerobotics was a combination of our personal interests and skill sets and just a massive opportunity we thought to help farmers far more efficiently using these types of technologies.
Talking to Benji Meltzer this evening, co-founder of Aerobotics, South African startup, learned its lessons in South Africa, now operating in 18 countries. More on that and what the real value of the data is. 81 million trees have been mapped in different parts of the world. Just try and visualize that. There's a forest for you. And what the value is and how they monetize it and how they've expanded beyond South Africa's borders, and just how much competition there is in the world. I wonder. More with Benji Meltzer in a moment.
The Money Show. Shapeshifters.
One of the theories of starting a business in South Africa, particularly tech businesses, is that you do it below the radar. You do it without getting noticed too much. You can make mistakes in South Africa, and then once you've got a product worth taking global, you're able to do so and have something far more robust to put into market. Benji Meltzer, co-founder of Aerobotics. Did you guys operate that way?
Yeah, 100%. I think the way you've described it is very aligned with our thinking in starting the company. I mentioned James was in Boston finishing his master's. I was in London. And coming back to South Africa was a very deliberate decision to build Aerobotics, I think for a few reasons, one of which just from a talent perspective, we understood we had access to some of the best engineering and technical talent. Agronomically, there's also access to some of the leading farmers in the world that we could sort of partner with in building this out. And to your point, it was quite a new space. It wasn't a saturated market like you might get in, say, California or Tel Aviv or elsewhere, where from day one, you're potentially having to spend on competing rather than building a value proposition that makes sense. And I think it allowed us the space to really test and build and iterate locally with a problem that we believed was uniform across the world. So business model-wise, to kind of come back to South Africa, build and test and iterate until we had something that we thought was ready. And then taking that globally to sell, I think, was one of the better decisions or aspects of the business in starting out.
We go. I mean, this market has been, you know, as effective as it is. I mean, agriculture, you talk about citrus. We're the second biggest citrus exporter in the world. We're very significant. But, I mean, to truly scale, you need to get global markets. You need to get global customers involved as well. Which was your first market outside of South Africa?
I'm trying to remember. the first significant market was probably the United States. We were part of an accelerator program with Google there a number of years ago. And I mean, we kind of had our trip paid for and happened to be on the ground and thought sort of, while we're here, why don't we go meet some growers on the ground? And interestingly, where in South Africa, we were very early in the space and almost as first movers had to invest in creating that market, educating farmers on the potential of the technology and almost building from the ground up. We found that in the United States and California in particular, a lot of people had exposure to this sort of technology by the time that we were there. And it almost helped us from a customer acquisition perspective in that the technology itself had been somewhat validated and it was more a matter of explaining how we differentiated and what value the product added, rather than having to educate the market from the ground up. And we've found that subsequently in a few of the other markets that we've kind of focused on over the years.
I've got my image of American farming is flying into Omaha, Nebraska, where there are maize fields that go for tens of miles. These are just, I mean, I've never seen fields as big as this, vast tracts of land. But I mean, when you're focusing on orchards and particularly sort of nut groves and citrus trees and things, the expanses probably aren't as big, but they must be larger than the sort of expanses we're used to in South Africa. And we've got some pretty impressive orchard spaces in our country.
Yeah, it's another story there in terms of the scale. I think, I mean, the as you mentioned, we focus on citrus and nuts predominantly. It's sort of Central Valley in California, Florida, Washington State with apples. And I mean, the scale's enormous. It's a completely different environment there. It's a lot more corporate. It's they talk about ranching sort of rather than farming, where you're just farming at such crazy scale that you can't necessarily farm with the intensity that farmers farm at locally in places like South Africa. But yeah, I mean, just the scale and opportunity and again, need for this type of technology is massive. I think they're suffering a lot of the same types of problems that we're suffering here in terms of growing costs and scarcity of inputs from water and the drought in California, or rising fertilizer costs as we're seeing all over. And I mean, their labor being a major expense and challenge as well. So again, to the point I was making earlier, I think the problems themselves are very similar. It's just the scale there is significantly bigger in many cases.
Where is the value in the business of aerobotics? Anybody can get a drone. Anybody can find some software and attach it to a drone and kind of map a field. I mean, I'm simplifying, obviously. But where is the value? Where is the aerobotics genius, if you like, housed? Is it in the IP attached to the software that you utilize that is particularly sensitive to the problems that you help farmers find?
Yeah, it's and this is the reason that we focused sort of quite specifically on particular crops. It's really in the agronomic interpretation of this data that's being collected. To your point, a lot of these aspects have been commoditized in terms of flying a drone or getting satellite imagery and generating maps, as an example. I think the real challenge is in turning those maps and those images into insights and decisions that can actually be actioned on the farm. And this is in the form of things like diagnosing a specific irrigation problem in particular trees in the farm, or helping growers estimate how many fruit they're going to get at harvest and what the size of those fruit are going to be. I think it's information that traditionally doesn't exist and really drives and enables much more data-driven decisions to be made on the ground. I think just something else worth mentioning is we've spoken up until now about the farmer themselves as the core sort of beneficiary and person that we're building the technology for. But this data really helps open opportunities for other stakeholders in the space to add more value through making more data-driven decisions or enabling better services to be offered to farmers. So
if you're an insurance company, this must be manna from heaven. I mean, it is, you can truly quantify the risk that exists within a particular acreage of land.
Exactly. And I mean, you've just touched on it. Insurance or crop insurance is one of the major sort of revenue sources and focuses of the business, where it, I mean, you could think of this as a vitality type product for crop insurance, where the insurer can get more visibility on risk and what's going on the ground. And there's tools that they're essentially exposing the farmer to farm more precisely and mitigate risk in farming practices, et cetera. And that really spans into a whole lot of other stakeholders, from banks in lending money to growers, or input companies in wanting to drive towards more sustainable solutions, et cetera. And really what we're trying to do is offer a sort of platform as a layer off the back of our data to enable better transactions and
but services. But that's the value, isn't it? I mean, if you've mapped 81 million trees, probably more by now, but I mean, you've got tens of millions of tree years of experience that you can say, well, this orchard does this, this area does this, this part of the world does this. You can start to quantify and find similarities and anomalies, I suppose.
Exactly. And it's very much in being able to benchmark and compare how you're doing as a grower. I mean, there's so much variability on the ground. Each tree is different, each orchard's different, each cultivar is different. And I mean, this is where the value of that data set comes in. It's actually around 200 million trees at the moment, which really allows us to build an absolute measurement in comparing how this specific tree is performing compared to what we've seen in Western California in, I don't know, clementines up until now.
How do you manage all of these operations out of Cape Town, out of the Western Cape? Do you sort of, the data, does it all come back to you? Do you do the analysis here? Is the analysis done automatically? How does that work? Because you have offices in different parts of the world, but I'm assuming the hub is here.
Yeah, so the hub is very much in South Africa. Our technology and operations teams are all in Cape Town. The interpretation and analysis of the data is done predominantly automatically in the cloud, but we do have teams on the ground in Cape Town who are helping curate those data sets. There's agronomists that are labeling the data for the machine learning models. We've got what we call a drone operations team who are helping manage the pilots around the world that are collecting the data. And really the international offices are more commercial hubs for sales and building relationships with customers on the ground.
What a magnificent tale and beautifully told. Benji Meltzer, thank you very much indeed. The co-founder of Air Robotics, our shapeshifter this evening. A fabulous South African startup that's raised hundreds of millions of dollars, or rand, certainly. I'm looking at the currency translations, lots and lots of money, as it builds this great business out of South Africa for global needs.